I want you to turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of the Acts. As I read the New Testament, I am more and more convinced that its emphasis is upon the climax of the cross. And the climax of the cross is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We're not worshiping a dead Christ. He's living. He's living. He's alive. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And here is the second chapter of the book of the Acts. And Peter is preaching. And in verse 22 we read, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because I wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended up into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And God will stamp this reading from his own infallible book to our hearts and to our minds. Let's stand for prayer. I take the promised Holy Ghost. the blessed power of Pentecost. I take, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. The chains could not hold the Savior in the tomb. Up from the grave he arose. We are serving a living Savior. A Christ who came. A Christ who took our sins. A Christ who died by the blood shedding on the cross. A Christ who was laid in the tomb. But a Christ who came forth in the power of an endless life. The Christ who has passed through the heavens. The Christ who has sat down with his Father in his throne. The one whom God has highly exalted and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Hallelujah! He's my Savior. Can you say that from the depths of your heart? If you can't, my friend, before this meeting closes, you can say it. For Christ's hand is outstretched to you, and he calls on you to come. And he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. The headstone of the corner foundation of Christianity is the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the sepulchre, and the stone is taken away. Yes, and it's away forever. Amen. This is an everlasting foundation which cannot be altered and cannot be moved. My text tonight is plain and it's pungent. There are no ifs or buts here. We are presented with an impossibility. It is not possible for Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be holden by death. Death must give up its hold. The power of death must be smashed. The reign of death must be finished. The throne of death must be broken and smashed and buried forever. Christ shall reign. He is reigning. He will reign. And he'll reign forevermore. And when millions and trillions of years, if you can measure eternity in the terms of time, have rolled by, he'll still be living. And we'll be living with him to see greater things, to know greater joy, to bathe in greater baptisms of love, and to taste the fullness of the Godhead. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my friend. And remember, God so loved the world that he gave. The Father gave his Son. He parted with his well-beloved. Why? Because he loved your sinful soul. And he wanted to see you not in hell, but in heaven. And he wanted you to be a child of his rather than a child of sin. I want to talk very quickly tonight on seven very important truths. First one is, it is impossible for Christ to be holden by death because he himself had power to lay down his own life, and he had power to take it again. Those are the plain words of Christ himself. Why do we do well when we inquire and say, yes, I understand it is impossible for Christ to be buried and to go into the tomb and not return. He must rise from that grave. Why? Because it's not possible that the pains of death might conquer him. He conquered death. Amen. The burial in the tomb was a burial of death. He paid the ransom price, and up from the grave he arose. Amen. And what a cry there was in heaven. Spurgeon said when he cried, "It is finished," all heaven shook with joy. When he cried, "It is finished," every devil in hell trembled. When he cried, "It is finished," the seal of perfection was reached in the salvation perfected by Christ, who paid the utmost price and fulfilled everything that the law had against us. Oh, thank God, death was no match for the Lord Jesus. Death met for the first time its conqueror. Death did not recognize what it was up against when it faced Christ. Christ is the life. He's the everlasting life. He's the incarnate life of the Holy Trinity. He's the life of God personified in human flesh. The life of God. Death is powerless in the presence of the King of Life. Christ said, "I have power to lay it down." Death did not force Christ to die. Christ died of his own volition. He came to die. And he died because he made choice of death. Why? That you might live and live forever. Oh, what love beat in his heart for his people. God hath declared that he is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. Amen. Therefore, it is an absolute impossibility that Christ could be destroyed by and in death. A man may suffer his child to fall to the ground, but yet in that fall, the hand of the Father is still upon the child, and the Father's hand can lift up the child at his pleasure. That's exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus put himself into the Father's hand. For the first time, he said, "Father, beat me. Punish me, condemn me, judge me. I'm here as a substitute for those that you gave to me in the great councils of a past eternity. I'm taking their place." Jehovah drew his awful rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore punished by my God, but thou didst pay the price for me. And the rod fell, and the Savior was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I want you to think about that. Never was a man marred like Christ. Never there was there a human body put to such a death. But praise God, death met a champion that was able for him. And thank God, death died. No wonder old John wrote the book, The Death of Death in Jesus Christ. Our students have to study that book, and they tell me it's nearly their death in trying to study it. But it's true, death has died. Never to rise again. Never to abuse the people of God. The divinity of Christ did for a while at Calvary hide itself, and Christ for a season at the door shut. But the door was never locked, for Christ had the keys at his own girdle. The sun can be eclipsed, but the eclipse of the sun doesn't make the sun to expire. Christ's life is inextinguishable. It can't be put out.
Hallelujah.
Christ lives in the power of an endless life. Christ's power was sovereign over his own life. His was the power of deity to lay it down and take it again. There was a wonderful man of God who lived in the city of Dublin, and he was a great songwriter, Thomas Kelly. And he said, "The Lord is risen indeed." And are the tidings true? Yes, they beheld the Savior bleed and saw him living too. The Lord is risen indeed. Then justice asks no more. Mercy and truth are now agreed, who stood opposed before. The Lord is risen indeed. Then hell has lost his prey. With him is risen the ransomed seed to reign in endless day. The Lord is risen indeed. He lives to die no more. He lives the sinner's cause to plead, whose curse and shame he bore. The Lord is risen indeed. This yields my soul a plea. He bore the punishment decreed and satisfied for me. It was not possible for Christ to be entombed because of what the Father bestowed upon him. Because the Father bestowed upon him life that was eternal. Glory to Jesus Christ. He reigns in the power of an endless life. You can put your soul into his hands. You can put your body into his hands. You can put your whole being into his hands. It couldn't be in a safer place than in the hands, the nail-pierced hands of the blessed Savior. So let's get this into our minds that God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death. For it was not possible that he should be holden by them. But secondly, it was impossible for Christ to be holden by death because of who he was. As the soul and body make one man, so does the deity and humanity make the one person of the Redeemer. His deity could not be bound by the pains of death. That's what my text says. So although Christ's humanity felt to the very depths of the sting and suffering of those pangs being linked to his deity, his humanity was lifted by resurrection out of the eternal grip of death.
Hallelujah.
Oh, death, where is thy victory? You have no victory. Oh, grave, where is thy boasting? You have nothing to boast about. Praise God, Jesus Christ does the boasting. Amen. Praise God, I, a poor sinner, does the boasting along with him.
Amen.
I can look death in the face and I can say to death, my Savior has dealt you a death blow and you're at his command, bound and chained. And thank God I am free.
Amen.
What a great thing to be free in the resurrection of our Lord. Death's chains were smashed. He couldn't hold them. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Oh, come with me today to the garden. Come with me today to the tomb. And listen to this word from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now is Christ risen from the dead.
Amen.
Now is Christ risen from the dead. See from the dungeon of the dead our great deliverer rise. While conquest rears his heavenly head, the glory glads his eyes. The struggling hero, strong to save, did all our miseries bear, down to the chambers of the grave, and left the burden there. See how the well-pleased angel rolls the stone and opes the prison. Lift up your hearts, ye sin-sick soul, and sing, the Lord is risen. No more indictments. Justice draws. It sets the soul at large. Our surety undertook the cause. And face a full discharge. It is not possible for Christ to be entombed because of what the Father bestowed upon him. Life. Life. In him was life. And the life with the light of God. Glory to Jesus forever. No wonder the hymn writer said, eternity will be too short to sound his praises. Oh, the wonder of it all. But let me say to you, it was impossible for Christ to be holden by death because of his person. And I rejoice today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Joseph Hart said, to save us, our Redeemer died. To justify us, rose. Where's the condemning power beside? Has right to interpose. Oh, praise God. My Savior is alive, and he's alive forevermore. But thirdly, it was not possible for Christ to be imprisoned by death because of his victorious work in destroying sin and death. And he destroyed sin and death and finished that destructive work. Finished! There's nothing more to be done. He put away sin by the sacrifice of his self. Death is the penalty of sin. Well, if sin is done away with, there can't be any penalty. It's finished. If penalty is fully paid, then the law of sin and death have no claims on Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, they have no claims on me.
Amen.
The covenant contract had all its claims met at Calvary. Jesus paid it all. I believe in a full atonement of past sins, present sins, and future sins. He died for them all. They were all in the future anyway, as far as I was concerned. thank God he died for them all. There's no sin can put up its fist into the face of Jesus and say, there's one of Paisley's sins, and I'm going to hold on to Paisley until you do something. Thank God Christ has done it. The work is done. Jesus paid it all. That empty tomb stands witness that Christ brought to the end the reign of sin and death forever from his own people. There were shouts of glee, I'm sure, the night in the prison of Philippi when every prisoner had his chains loosed. But what shouts of glee there was in heaven when it was announced that all the elect of God had their sins cancelled once and for all at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, when I first saw the light. And my burden, the burden of my heart rolled away. Resurrection demonstrated to hell, demonstrated to heaven, demonstrated to the timeless eternity that Christ had accomplished the great work of man's redemption. Jesus' complete salvation gives. And works victorious faith on his almighty arm depend the keys of hell and death. Ye burdened souls who inly pine for pardon, life and peace, call on his name, behold his grace, till all your sorrows cease. Hark how the conquering, dying Christ shouted, finished! Then death, his dreadful sting resigned, and hell's dominion died. Then Christ triumphant took his place upon the throne of God, and there forever lives to plead the virtues of his blood. To save us, our Redeemer died, to justify us, rose. Where's the condemning power beside has right to interpose? Could I say to you that death has been finished by Christ? But there's something more. It was not possible for Christ to be imprisoned by death because of the promise of the Father. For the Father gave his Son an immutable, unbreakable, unchangeable and infallible promise. And what was it? Psalm 16:10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Psalm 49:9. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. That's what the Father did for us. Because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Acts 2:27. Acts 13:34, and it's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to the corruption. He said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. The God who gave those promises to his Son is the God who says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Christ could not be held because of what he had been promised by his Father. No corruption could touch the body of the Son of God. He did not need the ointments of man. His body could not see corruption. Hallelujah. No corruption could touch it. It was impossible for him not to rise from the dead. Amen. He came to die, but he came to rise from the death, having finished the work. So all ye saints, can break off your tears, ye saints, and tell how high our great deliverer reigns. Sing how he spoiled the hosts of hell and led the monster death in chains. Say, live forever, wondrous king, born to redeem and strong to save. Then ask the monster, where's thy sting? And where's thy victory boasting grave? Oh, the grave is not boasting. Christ is boasting today. I am boasting today. That sepulcher that should have been the door to everlasting hell for me is broken and smashed. I will never walk that way, because Jesus walked the way for me. Amen. I will not answer to any sins I made, for Jesus took them all, every one of them, and he made them his very own. Amen. And he bore the burden to Calvary, and he bared his breast and said, Father, drive your sword through me. He said to the law, pour out your thunderbolts in me. He said to death, I will fight with you and break your power. And all that he boasted he would do, he did it. He did it supremely. He did it sovereignly. He did it eternally. The work is done. And the books are closed. The court will never meet again. So you can't get any accusation against a saint of God, because the books have been opened, the judgment has been meted out, the price has been paid, the record is clear. And what did he do? He nailed it to the cross. Yes, all the absolute sins of our life, all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. It was not possible to retain Christ in death because of his divine offices. He is a prophet of his people. He's not a prophet that cannot speak. He's speaking today. Why? Because he's alive. You couldn't silence Christ as the prophet. He is the king of his people. He is not subject to anyone. He rules and reigns in the power of an endless life. And he is not only the prophet and the king of his people, but he's the priest of the people. And thank God I can stand at a barrier that once stopped me entering into the holiest of all. But that barrier has been broken. The veil is rent. And I can hear sweeter music than the bells from the remnant and from the robe of the old Jewish priestcraft. What sweet bells ring out in heaven that there's no sin to worry about. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let me tell you, friend, the prophet, the Lord Jesus, will never be imprisoned again. The priest that the Lord Jesus is will never know captivity again. And the king will reign upon his rightful throne of glory and of power. Death could not keep Christ a prey. Why, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. What a great overthrow there was in that dark tomb. Christ, if Christ be not raised, all his people are still in death's bonds. We're yet in our sins. But because he lives, we live. The living Christ is a supplier of the life of his people. Ye mourning souls, dry up your tears. Dismiss your gloomy, groundless fears. And let your hearts with this revive that Jesus Christ is eternally alive. Christ could not be held in death. He is the Savior of the whole of those who put their trust in him. He's the living God enthroned in humanity who took our burden and finished with all our debts at the place called Calvary. Finally, can I say that Christ must have risen from the dead, for only the resurrected Christ could have the promise of God fulfilled in him and by him and through him. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. I'm looking forward to that day when every old apostate will bow. Down they'll go. They have denied his deity. They've denied his blood. They've denied his glory. But praise God, one day they shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Yes, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Who said that? The Lord himself. To the two men, the two that journeyed on the road to Emmaus. Ought not Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory? I hail him tonight. I worship him tonight. I fall down before him. I embrace him. I crown him. He is mine. And I am his forever and forever. Amen. And one day when time is no more, and one day when we enter into the great unending eternity of the future, we shall see him. But there's a great thing. We're going to be like him. It'll be lovely for us to be like the one who did so much. And God wants us down here to be like his son, to be witnesses before man. May God give us Christ-likeness and give us a heart like the Savior, loving the people that need his love and praying for the people that need his grace and bringing to them the sweetest message that can be brought to a sinner. And what it is, give the winds a mighty voice. Amen. Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves. Spread that news to every land. Climb the hills and cross the waves. Let the world hear that Jesus saves. We're going away from this conference. No one knows what the year will bring forth. Some of us may be called into the immediate presence of Christ. Some of us may leave this country even to go to battle for Christ in far off places. But this I do, that we'll all meet again. And there'll be one day coming when we'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye, for in that land of joy and song, we'll never say goodbye. And that brings me to this application. Let's work for Christ as we never worked for him before. Let's get the message of the gospel out to poor lost sinners. Let's pray for our fellow countrymen that God will open their eyes to see that Jesus saves to the very uttermost all that come unto God by him. And let us see evangelism on fire in our neighborhood, in our churches, among our people, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the sweetness of the fact that thy blessed Son is alive. I'm glad, Lord Jesus, you're my friend. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. I'm glad one day you left heaven for me. You made that longest possible journey from eternity into time to take my human nature, to share that human nature, to identify yourself with me, a sinner. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place. And on that dark day when your father had to draw the rod to beat you, you didn't run away. You turned your back and you presented yourself for execution to die. And you died. But we thank thee that in death you were triumphant. And in the bowels of this earth, and in that place called hell and darkness, you finished death and hell forever, as far as their claims are concerned on my people. And here we are, the living to praise thee. Lord, start a fire in our hearts. Oh God, give us this night a heart like Jesus for the people that he died for. And oh God, may we put our hand into his nail-pierced hand tonight. And may we just say, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Lord, do us good in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hymn number 17, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death hast won.